Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Lovely listeners, how would you like to be in a room with me, Lucy Porter?
And me, Jenny Ryan, and each other, basically. I'd
like
that.
A whole bunch of people. I'd love it. I'm so excited about seeing people again. And we are doing a live event as part of the London Podcast Festival on Saturday, the 11th of September, 2021 at 9:30 p.m.
And it's at King's Place, which is a wonderful venue. And it's very close to King's Cross and St. Pancras stations in London town.
London's glamorous, not the West End. London's north glamorous bit. North-ish bit. Yay. And if you would like tickets, you can go to kingsplace.co.uk and we'll see you all there.
Yay.
Whoop, whoop.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct.
Hello, lovely listeners.
Lovely, lovely listeners.
Oh, we've missed you so much.
We really, really have.
It's Fingers on Buzzers.
We're back.
At last. And gosh, we've got a lot to catch up on. So today we are going to tell you what we've been up to.
Yep.
We are going to have a listener quiz.
As usual, it wouldn't be an episode without a listener quiz.
And we're going to take you to London's glamorous West End, where we recently did a quiz for the Groucho Club.
I mean, how industry are we, darling?
I mean, it was a little bit. To be honest, I've always said, oh, the Groucho Club. I mean, oh dear, that's full of the metropolitan elite. But it turns out when you go there, bloody marvellous. So
they're all drunk, so who knows? You can't tell the difference who's elite and who's not.
But we did pose what I think was a brilliant quiz, and I can say that because Jenny did most of the work. So we're going to be sharing that with you, sprinkled across the next few episodes.
Just like hundreds and thousands. Yes. Scattering.
Or chili flakes.
We've got very different palates, clearly.
Yeah. You're sweet, I'm savoury. That's how it works. We're like Cagney and Lacey or something. Anyway, so let's get on with Fingers on
Buzzers.
So we're back, and what we thought we would do to start this series is basically just share what we've been up to, a kind of what we did in the holidays, except it wasn't a holiday, it was a horrible pandemic.
Yeah, it was stuck in the house 6 months.
Yes, but not entirely stuck in the house, because we did follow COVID protocols and go out and do some quizzing. So obviously no live pub quizzes, no kind of...
No quiz leagues, in person, all online. I've been doing a bit of online quizzing though.
Yes. And also a little bit of television quizzing. I mean, a lot of television quizzing, because quizzing has come to the rescue in these difficult times, because you've not only been doing The Chase, your regular day job, you've also been doing Beat the Chasers, mm-hmm. and indeed Celebrity Beat the Chasers.
That was a real treat.
Now, I was more than delighted to see Sean Williamson, friend of the show. And tell us, Jenny, how much did Sean Williamson win for charity?
Oh, well, it's not actually any spoiler to say that he won money, is it? Because he was always going to beat us.
Yeah.
He went for the full five chaser lineup, and mm-hmm. he won £120,000 for the Paul Strank Charitable Trust, which is, for such a small charity, it's life-changing.
Yes.
That's a year's income easily.
I know.
And it means such a lot to the charity itself, but you could see how much it meant to Sean to use his quizzing skills that he's built up. You know, he's not just used them to write a book and appear on our podcast. He has used them to make a ton of money for charity, and he was the most emotional person.
Aww.
It was lovely. I mean, I'm one of those people. I'm too empathetic, and I can't stand to see anyone cry, particularly a gentleman who I respect.
Yes, and love. Let's be honest, we love him.
And the fact he was tearing up, it nearly had me going. But
and
you know,
what do you think? So, I mean, obviously, from a professional point of view, you failed badly. I don't want to rub it in, but you know, Sean
did what it says on the tin. It's called Beat the Chasers, and he beat us fair and square.
And do you think were the secrets to his, I mean, obviously just his general quizzing knowledge, but talk us through some key points in that show.
I think Sean had clearly put in the practice for the format. A lot of people will go on a quiz show and think, I'm good at quizzing, mm-hmm. and it's horses for courses with all different quiz shows. You know, people will say to me, who's the best quizzer out of The Chase? As I say, well, I think the best person at The Chase is me. Because most of my prep goes to topics that will come up on The Chase and the speed at which I'm going to have to answer the questions on The Chase.
Yeah.
So Sean did exactly the right thing. He clearly has taken the time and effort to practice mm-hmm. getting questions thrown at him for a couple of minutes at a time, and just not letting himself get distracted either. So clearly very focused, looking at the time and playing his own game. We've seen with the people who've won both on Beat the Chasers and Celebrity Beat the Chasers, the people who win are generally the ones who don't worry about what we're doing up on the plinth.
Yeah.
We could be getting them all right for all they're concerned. Mm-hmm. They can't rely on us making any mistakes, because often we make zero mistakes. Sometimes we'll make three or four in one round, but they can't predict that. As long as you're playing your own game and getting basically every question right, which Sean basically did.
Yeah.
Absolute focus. You can also see the people who don't look at you. I'm not even going to look at Bradley.
I tell you what I'm really interested in is, having watched both The Chase and Beat the Chasers, obviously, what is the difference for a contestant psychologically? Obviously, I mean, you still need stamina and you still need to have done your prep, but what do you think is the big difference in those two shows?
There's a huge intimidation factor with Beat the Chasers. It's magnified. It's times five or even times six, hopefully, on the next series.
Yep.
There'll be all six of us in play. And just the studio is set up to be really, really intimidating to the contestants.
I mean, The Chase
really
is hard enough when you're way above, you know, the classic status thing of you're looking up at the chaser, but looking up at five or hopefully six chasers.
Yeah,
even
we're even
more
higher up.
Are you?
We're glowering. Yeah, we're very, very high up.
Yeah.
And I liken that studio to, you know, we're the senior Roman dignitaries.
Yeah.
Gazing down upon the Christians who are going to be thrown to the lions or whatever.
We are hoi polloi, not the hoi polloi, as everybody always reminds
me. No, we're there with our thumbs quivering as to whether they're going to survive or not. So I think that psychologically, I think that is the huge difference between the chase and beat the chasers. A lot of the technique is very much the same. Mm-hmm. That you're trying to accumulate as many correct answers as you can and not worry about what the other person's doing.
Yeah.
But the fact is the magnification of
There's
five of us staring at you. We've been watching you since you stepped foot onto the studio floor and you trotted out, and we've already been making our judgments because basically the producers tell us to make judgments about you immediately.
And you have the hot mic moments, which of course I don't like, but
I quite like a hot mic moment.
But it is quite interesting, actually. I will concede that it is quite interesting to see what you say as they come out. And also it's sort of in the round a bit as well, isn't it? So it's got that gladiatorial thing built into the set.
Yeah. I'm hoping that by the time we get to record another series that we will actually have the audience back, because we did have an audience for the first series and it was amazing. The atmosphere in there, and it was like the Colosseum.
Yes.
They were all around and baying for a bit of blood, mostly baying for our blood.
Yes, which is as it should be.
And of course, Bradley loves an audience like that. So, I mean, you've been there in the Celebrity Chase studio.
Loved
and
it,
you know that he loves...
Yes.
Any kind of audience to play up to.
He feeds from the crowd.
Feeds on the
100%,
energy.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed.
Mm.
Hopefully later in the year we'll be making a new series of that. And who knows? We might have an audience. Some of our listeners might be in the audience. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
Give us a wave.
Well, it's been interesting doing, Pando quiz shows, as we're probably going to start calling them. So, because I did... Pointless in this time. Yes.
You certainly did do Pointless then.
So, I mean, not that I'm trying to steer it onto my own quizzing victories.
I was going to steer it, don't worry.
I mean, I'm just going to say. I found, and I know we've talked a little bit before about how weird it is doing pandemic stuff, but the lack of an audience normally, say, Pointless celebrities, you would normally have an audience, and we didn't. And it was tremendous fun and brilliant, and Xander and Richard are fantastic, and the production team are amazing, and it was great. But it's just not the same. And we had Perspex screens.
Oh, between you and Mr. Dave Johns as well.
I know, one of my oldest comedy friends.
I told him off when he was on Celeb Chase.
Oh, did you?
Standing with his hands in his pockets.
Yeah, well, he is very slovenly, I will give you that.
He's almost too casual.
Yeah, well, he doesn't really care, but I think that worked in our favour.
Your team was the most relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because we'd both done it so many times as well. So Dave was my third Pointless husband. Mm-hmm. I had divorced Ed Byrne after the terrible hot gossip fiasco that we won't talk about. I divorced Rob Deering because, he let me down as well. It was never my fault, was it?
You wouldn't think that he would.
No, I mean, he's brilliant.
That's unexpected.
He's a genius, and, it wasn't really his fault. But anyway, my third Pointless husband turned out to be the one. And it was...
You're like Henry VIII, you.
I would still move on if I could. If they'd allow me to do it again, I'd have another. I'll be honest, I'd go with anyone. I'm not bothered. But it was...
Much like Henry VIII.
Very much. I also enjoy eating chicken legs as...
Just whizzing them over your shoulder.
Yeah, but it was kind of weird because we couldn't, hug or embrace. And I found that really weird, watching game shows and seeing people not.
It is that, I think that is a tough, tough thing, that you're not having that immediate response. You've won a load of money
Brad,
your teammate's given a brilliant answer. You want to give them a high five. You want to give them a hug. You want to, tap them on the shoulder.
At least, yes. Or in your case, punch Paul. I mean, we've all seen that.
That has been vastly blown out of
proportion. I know.
I patted him on the arm. It was in anger, I will give you that.
Yes.
But he completely admitted, he was in full receptive mode to that. He's like, I deserved it.
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't have buzzed in on that one.
He'd have done it to you. I mean, we know that. But it is sort of slightly strange, because especially, you see Brad and... You just go, he's always putting his arms around people, and that's what's so lovely about him. So I am looking forward to a return of, when Beat the Chasers comes back, hopefully, and indeed in future, whatever quizzing endeavours we
do. It would be nice to be back. We're very fortunate on Beat the Chasers that there's a provision in TV to have a close contact cohort, mm-hmm. which I think is usually used for dramas and things.
Yeah.
But the chasers all get tested ridiculously frequently throughout the period of filming, which means that we can sit together without perspex between us.
Yeah.
And it means we can punch each other on the arm if we so wish. And I think that has made a huge difference to us, because I don't think that Beat the Chasers would have worked with perspex screens.
No.
We need to be able to be looking down the line at one another. We're trying to play with one brain.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to do that without that sort of... The emotional connection is the physical connection.
Yeah.
And having a direct line of sight is so important. Yeah. You don't realise that until it's taken away from you. So I think a lot more of these shows will be more enjoyable to make and for viewers to watch once we are in a position to, at the very least, have the close contact cohort thing, and so you can be in your little bubble with your teammate.
Yeah,
and it'll be nice and friendly and nice and warm.
And how much of a recalibration has it been for you from being a solo chaser to being on the team? What have you had to do to kind of adapt to that?
It is a big shift, really, mm-hmm. from just being solely focused on your own performance. And you're the only one you actually have to worry about. That's a lot easier than, for me, as I said, a sort of an empath. The hive mind thing is going on, and I'm worrying about everybody who's sitting with me, and I'm worried about us getting the right rhythm going, and who's going to come in on this one, and do I leave it for?
And I guess because you all know each other's strengths and weaknesses because you've all quizzed together in various ways. So, are you ever in a position where you go, I don't know the answer. I think I know who will know it, but I'm going to wait or sit on something
all the time. So that's something that we have to factor in all the way through. It's not just, do I know this one? When we're doing the final chase, you just have a go at each of them, or you are immediately making that decision to pass or to play. And because sometimes if you actually guess at a question, you're going to give the team the answer on the pushback. So you have to have that sort of tactical brain going. But to a great extent, it's just you. You just have to worry about whether or not you can come out with the answer for it. With Beat the Chasers, there's a huge element of you're dealing with four, potentially five other people at the same time. And you know them well, and you know their strengths and weaknesses, but you also, you don't want to second guess yourself. Mm. I think 90% of questions we all know the answer to.
Yeah.
So it becomes a buzzer race. Or do you just, it's a question about the royal family. I think I know it. I'm only 96% sure of that.
Yeah.
Anne will be 100% sure of, but she's a little bit slower on the buzzer. Wow. Do I leave it for another half second and guarantee getting it right? Or do I go in? I don't end up with great stats on Beat the Chasers, but that's because basically the role I have, I've termed the mop.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm housekeeping. If anything comes over and we're taking too long over it, or nobody has a go and everyone's looking a bit blank, I buzz in with a random guess.
Yeah.
And sometimes it pays off and most of the time it doesn't, which means my stats don't add up, but somebody has to have that role.
Yeah.
It's sort of the captaincy. I'm going to take this for the team.
Yeah.
It's not the nicest role, but you have to do it, and it means you're moving on to the next one where you know 100% it's a football question. Sean's going to get this speed of light.
It's funny, isn't it? Because actually having done the chase from the other side, of course, you're sort of in that position with people you've never met, and which is in a way it's easier because you sort of just go, I'm just gonna, if I know it, I'll answer it. But then you do sort of in the 2 minutes, and 2 minutes is quite a long time it's in that forever. Final chase, you start to get into a little bit of okay, so I know that that person is knowledgeable but hesitant, and I know that that person is probably never gonna buzz
Naming no names.
There are, you know, there's some people who don't. And yeah, that, because nobody in real life quizzes that way. In a pub quiz team, you sit and you write and you confer. Or in, you know, in other situations, you're on the spot and you are individually, you know, much more similar to being the chaser in normal times, in the normal show. And it is, yeah, it's really, it's, I find it really fascinating that you can see you all doing that a bit, and you can see the psychology of who's who. And, you know, it's, yeah, I look forward to seeing more so that I can work out a bit more what your roles are.
The pace of it is the thing, because the thing it's most comparable to for me is in Quiz League of London, you get your personal question and you have 10 seconds to decide whether to answer it or to pass to one of your teammates. And your teammates are all trying to signal to you how confident they are with a hand gesture, you know, a fist for, I definitely know this. And so you might have, you might be 98% on something, but you've got that little, the 2% of doubt means you're going to pass to your, but this is over 10 seconds. We're doing this in a tenth of a second. You're making those decisions. So it's writ large.
Yeah.
And it is really fascinating. So it's an interesting watch. If people want to watch back and not look at the, you know, the tension and be on the contestant side, but look how each combination of the team works and how we operate while we're in the zone. I think it's a fascinating watch and a fascinating... You could write a blooming dissertation on it.
I know. Well, what I'd like is an individual camera on each of you that we can then all watch.
Especially the person who's not playing in that particular round and he's sitting there furious. Sitting on the hands so they don't immediately reach and hit the buzzer.
So, I mean, I think what we've got there is we've got a couple of new format ideas, which are, you know, the chase where you're allowed to sort of punch each other. The chase is where you
We did that with Nick Helm, really, didn't we?
That's very true, actually. A physical wrestling version of it. And, and also the psychology. One where you've got a psychologist kind of watching you, like, almost like poker for tells.
Yes.
And I think that could work. Now, we had a very exciting night out recently. In fact, one of our only nights out.
It was...
Our only night out.
It was the only night out for a long, long time in London's glittering Soho.
It was in London's glamorous West End, and it was at the Groucho Club, scene of many legendary hell-raising episodes for people in showbiz. But we did not raise hell. We raised a laugh, and we raised...
The questions.
So, we did a quiz at the Groucho Club, and you're going to hear some of that over the next few episodes, starting now.
This round, round number one, it is blockbusters. Calm down. We're going to give you the first letter of each answer in the manner of Bob Holness, and I can tell you now, none of them begin with... I've heard that a few times. Yeah,
it's funny now, when they did the recent one, Give Me D was also rude.
It did.
That's become rude in the time since the 80s. So anyway, question number one is going to begin with T. So it begins with the letter T. It is, which T is an everyday word that has mixed Latin and Greek roots, meaning far sight.
Very common word.
Very common.
Okay, question number two. The H is flashing on the board. Which H is Elton John's middle name, a mythological hero, and an aircraft engine? Which H is all of those things? Elton John's middle name, a mythological hero, and an aircraft engine. Which H is that for question number two?
Some people got that just from Elton John's middle name. Question number three. It's an E. Can I have an E, please, Bob? Hey! Which E was the first competitor to represent Great Britain in Olympic ski jumping? That's an E. Which E was the first competitor to represent Great Britain in Olympic ski jumping? You know it.
Yeah.
question number four. Let's go highbrow, shall we? If you're looking at the Blockbusters board, the letter G is flashing. That hexagon G is flashing. Which G does Oliver Twist want more of in the novel by Charles Dickens and, indeed, in the musical Oliver?
Okay, moving on to question number five. I think this is a tricky one. Question five is R. Which R is the first name of Bertie Wooster's valet, Jeeves? Oh, you know it, but it's hard to retrieve. Which R is the first name of Bertie Wooster's valet, Jeeves?
You could definitely have a guess at that one. We've given you the first letter.
It's an R. Da 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 da.
Anyone want to do a hand try?
Let's go through the answers for round one, shall we? Which T is an everyday word that has mixed Latin and Greek roots, meaning far sight? The correct answer was not telescope, as many of you put. It was television. Which H is Elton John's middle name, a mythological hero and an aircraft engine? A lot of you got this one. It's Hercules. Well done. Do feel free to cheer and go mad if you got the right answer, because we've all been stuck inside a long time. Let's enjoy ourselves while we can. Which E was the first competitor to represent Great Britain in Olympic ski jumping? It was Eddie the Eagle Edwards. Which G does Oliver Twist want more of in the Charles Dickens novel and musical? It was Grog. Which R is the first name of Bertie Wooster's valet, Jeeves? Give me a cheer if you put Reginald. Yes.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's that time again
for the listener quiz.
Oh, we missed a listener quiz.
I know, and thank you, listeners, for sticking with us. And in fact, we've put on listeners during the pandemic, which has been lovely. More of you have joined us, and we are very, very grateful that you have. And some of you have sent in quizzes for
Excellent.
Us.
Excellent.
So the listener quiz today has been sent in by...
Tom Paternoster Howe.
What
which
an
is,
excellent name.
I think it's the first quiz we've had where the setter is named after a type of lift.
A type of lift, or indeed a square in London.
Indeed. Where,
or a prayer.
Where the First Dates restaurant is.
Yes, and Paternoster Row used to be where the British publishing industry was based before it was bombed out in the Second World War.
That's a good fact. I just know, that, well, Catholic, isn't it? It's our father in Latin. Father.
Paternoster qui est in heaven. I don't know. Anyway, so it is time for Tom Paternoster Howe's quiz. And Amanda, we will hand over to you for the questions.
Hi, welcome back. Lovely to see you guys again. This is a treat. Isn't and it? Yeah, thanks to Tom for sending this in. It's only connect theme, so everything kind of, yay, each answer is going to connect up. So right, we'll just start with four questions and I guess kind of general knowledge based. Should we just do the questions first? You write down your answers and then we go back.
Let's do that. Yeah. Yeah. If there's a link, that's nice.
Yeah. Okay, lovely. So question number one. So I'm going to read out four things and you're going to write down
the connection.
The connection between this. So what links, number one, someone with a red-headed Irish ancestor.
Yep.
Number two, a little Polish bird. Number three, a tracker of the people who live by the sea in Scotland.
Wow.
Wow, okay.
And number four, a German writer.
Gosh, okay.
Okay. I feel like we should have
can we discuss
confer
it?
On this.
Yeah, I think we should.
I think you should, yeah.
Let's confer. Right, so German writer I'm going to start with. So Hermann Hesse.
Or does it mean literally the German for writer?
Schreiber.
Dan are these Schreiber surnames? Oh, right. These are surnames of...
Oh.
Are they some podcasters?
Oh,
are these
so
gonna
Dan
be
Schreiber.
Dan Schreiber. We've got Harkin in here, probably.
Yes. And the Polish one is, of course, going to be Anna, isn't it?
Yep. Andrew Murray would be the tracker of people who've by the sea. Moray, I guess. Moray Firth. And, Harkin must be red-headed ancestor, even though there are no gingers in that family. I can confirm there are no gingers in the Harkin. But I hope that is it. I think it's a QI elf based question.
Yes, this is very good.
We needed to work together on that though.
You barely needed to work together. You literally, I'm so opposite you. You literally, figuratively speaking, you put your heads together and immediately all the answers came out and you got it. So yeah, all answers linked together with our friends from No Such Thing as the Fish.
So the someone with a red head from an Irish family, that's a Harkin.
Yeah, it must be. Harkin.
And then the Polish...
A little Polish bird, was it?
Yeah, a little Polish bird.
So that is obviously...
Anna.
Tashinsky, is that Anna's name?
I thought it was Tchinsky.
Tchinsky.
Yeah. Sorry, Anna. We still don't know.
She's so used to it.
Just Anna.
Schreiber is German for writer. Hunter Murray. Murray meaning...
Oh, Hunter. Yeah, the hunter's in there.
But no, you were right. People who live in the Moray area of Scotland by the sea.
Very good.
Harkin, an anglicised form of Irish surname. I can't pronounce that, sorry. But it's derived from the word, which means red. And the bird... Chinsk meaning little bird in Polish.
Ooh. Yeah, okay.
So,
well, very
that's
good.
A nice derivation of your surname, isn't it? What's your surname mean? Just carrier?
Yeah, carrier, porter. I mean,
that's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
I was born to serve you, Jen. That's.
I'm a little king.
Okay.
Just a little king, though.
And the red man. I mean, and what could that mean? What could Amanda Redman be?
Related to Harkin.
Yeah, probably.
Just a little angry man who lives by the sea.
Furious. Oh, but that was great.
That was brilliant. And thank you so much to Mr. Paternoster Howe for that brilliant quiz.
That was great. I liked the intersection of fact-based podcasts there.
Yes, exactly.
Lovely.
He's clearly got good taste. So
cheers,
thank
Tom.
You very much. And if anyone wants to send in a quiz, please feel free. Well, thank you so much for listening to the first episode back of...
Fingers on Buzzers, it's great to be back.
We are still singing...
Without any tune or planning.
And we will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening.
And it won't be as long a wait for the next episode.
No,
we promise.
Probably
see you next week.
Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.